Let's take a journey. Well, welcome to A Day's Journey podcast, where we will embark on a voyage of transformation towards healing, wellness, and trusting in the guiding light of Jesus. I am so thrilled to kick off season 5, where we will delve into the profound process of uprooting traumas and strongholds while paving the way for a life deeply rooted in Christ's love. Through heartfelt conversations and personal narratives, we will explore the power of faith, self-awareness, and vulnerability in overcoming life's challenges. Our mission is clear: to offer a nurturing space where healing flourishes and being authentic reigns supreme. Join me on this journey of becoming whole as we navigate the path towards flourishing and embracing our true selves in the comforting of embracing of Christ. Let's embark together on A Day's Journey podcast, where healing and wholeness awaits. I am your host, Miyoshi Walker. I am a faith coach, grief advocate, author, and speaker. Let's embark on this journey of healing together. Let's heal out loud. Hello and welcome back to A Day's Journey podcast. I am Miyoshi Walker, your host. And this week we're going to speak on episode 8. This week's topic is the root of bitterness. And remember that since January, God had given me the word or the topic rooted. And he's instructed me to speak on those things that are deeply rooted in us. And so far, we have been tackling those things that are potentially from our childhood or past experiences, things that has caused trauma or things that may have hurt us. And so in the discussion of the topics, each week I come with or is given a different topic. And as I mentioned, this week's topic is root of bitterness. And so I would like to start with a disclaimer, as I always do. I am sharing based on my own experiences through praying and guidance and counseling that has been received and just research and reading over the years. And again, I am not a professional. I am sharing just my experiences and the tools that assisted me with my healing. And with the Holy Spirit of allow me to do so and with seeking God and his guidance. So let's get into it. Today's topic, episode 8, Root of Bitterness. I want to start out by a little insert from a book that I purchased. It's called Breaking Generational Curses, Free at Last by Larry Hutch. But it's really interesting book, to say the least. And the point that I wanted to read, it's in chapter 14. And chapter 14, it speaks about basically how Jesus wants our heart back with joy. And so the part that intrigued me and that I'm going to share today, it's aligned with today's topic, the root of bitterness. And so it says this, it says, give God your hurt. If you don't allow God to heal your hurt, your unattended hurt turns into bitterness. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 6 and 12 to pray, forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. He then told them, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And so it goes on to tell how this the writer learned to forgive and discovered who the thief is, and it's the devil. And so when I was studying and reading and putting the topic together of what was given, I realized that, you know, we all are fighting this one thing and this person in some type of way. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare, a spiritual battle. I've spoke before, the battle is not with the person or the individual, but it's with the principalities and the powers and those rulers of in the dark places, according to Ephesians 6 and 12. I have to remember that quite often, because we quite often become mad at the person, and at times the enemy used the person to come against us, or use those things that we are dealing with, struggling with, or those things we're trying to overcome. And so we have to remember that individuals or people are nothing more than tools that either is used by God or the devil. And I always remember this saying that my old pastor said, whatever spirit you feed the most, that's the one you become. And so, you know, either you are, you know, feeding into and believing what God has said, or allowing the enemy to take over your thoughts and to, you know, allow these things to take place. And so we should be, don't get me wrong, or don't misunderstand me, we should definitely be held accountable for our actions, because when it comes to things, we have, God give us a choice and a decision that we can make. And it's up to us to make that decision. But that's how much I love God, because he's so loving to not force anything on us, but do it gently in a way of how we can become more in his image. And so when I speak about the root of bitterness, you know, I think about the times and moments that, you know, in the past years, or even if it had been currently, where I did harbor or hold on to bitterness, what it did to me, what it did to my mind space, what it did to my heart, what it did to my body physically. And so I speak about often how, you know, these things can affect us, because as I mentioned, whatever spirit we feed the most, that's the one we become. And so if we're tools that's either used by God or the devil, I think about it like this, you know, Jesus was a carpenter, and yes, he used his hands. He used his hands, and he uses us to help build up people. And if we're in the hands of the enemy, we can be used to tear people down. And so I'd rather be used by Jesus to help build people up. So just let me give an example. If a hammer is a tool, and a hammer can build a wall or tear it down, and you see a wall, you don't give the hammer the glory. You see the wall with holes in it, you don't blame the hammer. The hammer is just a tool in someone's hand. And so what tool are you using? What do you have in your hands? Who are you allowing to use you? So basically, the hammer is just a tool in someone's hands. This is why Jesus said that the battle is not with the flesh, but it's not with the flesh and blood, but with evil spirits. So when we become like that hammer, and we're hammering on each other every minute, trying to either tear each other down or build each other up, we have to decide how we're going to use that tool. And so we have tools that we can use, which is, you know, the Holy Spirit, God's word, prayer, and those things that we can help build ourselves up and to help build up others. But we have to deal with the matter at hand, because we don't, let me ask you this. You don't want to allow that thing or person to blow out your candle of joy, your light out of your life. And you don't want bitterness to take over in darkness of your spirit or your soul. So why should we continue? Why should you and I continue to allow someone to take our joy, our light, our happiness, or our meaning away by harboring on to that bitterness? And so there's a problem that can keep us from being vital and vibrant if we continue to hold on to that bitterness. And then there's a problem that can cause that brokenness, that cause those argumentative times within your household or on the job or out in public. And that problem is bitterness, because at the end of the day, we're just really just hurt, tired, frustrated, and just mad at ourselves or mad at that person or thing. And that's where the bitterness come in, because at times we are dealing with the forgiveness part that I speak about. The forgiveness part is we must forgive in order to be forgiven. In order to be forgiven, we must realize who the thief is, which is the enemy. So when we do this, the joy can be returned to us if we allow the Holy Spirit to do that. We must forgive those who hurt us, knowing that the one who is behind the actions of us holding on to bitterness is the enemy. And so just like Jesus understood it was the devil and not the people who was trying to destroy him, in Acts 7, 59 and 60, it says, "And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he said this, he was asleep." So he understood that the battle was not against the flesh and blood, but against those that was stoning him. And so we have to allow Jesus to stop that's within us, that bitterness, that curse, and reverse it. Because when I was reading a book, it mentioned that the enemy, his desire is to steal our joy, continue to allow those feelings and emotions to fester. But Jesus wants to heal our pain. And once our healing takes place, we will not be bitter anymore. The resentment, the hatred will no longer be a part of our lives. We receive joy from the Lord when we open, the windows of heaven is open. We can get our joy back. We can become strong in our faith. We can be set free. We don't have to be bitter. We can become better. And when we're happy, our light shines onto others who are hurting. And that draws others to men, which we are disciples and which we are supposed to share Christ with. And so looking at Hebrews 12 and 15, the Holy Spirit speaks a lot about the root of bitterness, which is the cause of the greatest difficulty for men. And when I say men, meaning men and women. So we have to know that many times when we continue to allow that bitterness to fester, it's just like a volcano that has that unresolved anger, that unresolved pain, and those things that we deal with. And when bitterness is allowed to develop in our heart, that's how we become defiled with those things that are not of Jesus, defiled of those things that can keep us in bondage, defiled of those things that can just keep us stagnated in that place. Because bitterness is a genuine bitterness, and that gratitude cannot coexist with God. Let me say that again. Bitterness and gratitude to God cannot coexist. So we can't be bitter and have gratitude at the same time, because the only thing that I can think of when I was going through it, I would suppress the bitterness, but I would have joy, but it would only be momentarily. I wanted everlasting joy. I wanted everlasting peace. And so with that, I had to know that I had to humble myself. I had to be honest, and I had to surrender it over to God. And whatever it was, whether it was the person, a situation, myself, because we can be hard on ourselves about things that we didn't do or feel like we should be at the moment in our lives, and things that we didn't say or do or should have done, or what the other person did. We have all those thoughts that, you know, just can overload our minds and thoughts. But bitterness develops when we fall short or become behind in the grace of God. And so that's what the root of bitterness is. And so how does this root find a place in our heart and lives? Because a bitter person generally is someone who has been hurt. Something that has happened. Life has not worked out to the satisfaction of what you expected, or perceive that sometimes God is to blame and that we're bitter at God, or bitter at society or individuals or our spouse or our significant other. But many times it can become the better half becomes the bitter half. And so when a negative, bitter person is convinced that someone is someone else is responsible for every problem and everything in their lives. It just feels like it can be such an emotional roller coaster. It becomes like a cancer, because the root of bitterness grows from the soil that of hurt that has been deeply or has been implanted within us. And so with that root of bitterness, it produced the fruit of bitterness. And so because of the root has fruit, we have to know that it produces a bitter person. And that's how we become angry. And that's how we become, you know, jealous. And that's how we become frustrated. And that's how we lash out. And that's how we say things that we really don't mean. And so, you know, we should continue to seek God and ask him for direction and ask him in the what we should do and how we should do it. Because when we go to him, when we go to God, he begins to tell us how we need to let it go and release it. Because if someone has hurt us and we begin to seek out how in the faults to justify those feelings, and we can become a negative person and we could continuously just nitpick and pick out those flaws in those persons, whether it's a friend or a spouse or a significant other, church persons or coworkers or whomever it may be. And when that person has that root of bitterness, he will always find what he or she is looking for, because we all have them. And so we will always find fault in the other person or the situation. And we become bitter because we, you know, a bitter person have a way of bringing out bitterness in other people. So it's just like a contagious virus that continues to go on from person to person, because you are spewing, you know, whatever gossip or thing or however they wronged you to one person, then that person gets it, and then it goes on to the next one, because, you know, it's just like that wheel of just continuous gossip. But we have to know that we have to cap that off, and we have to shut that down, and we have to not allow those buttons to be pushed, and we have to know how to respond. We have to have a desired response and not wanting to feel that way and not wanting to do those things. Because sometimes, you know, I've come to realize that holding on to that bitterness, it has the consequences of that physical and emotion and psychological things that can affect us. I know for me, you know, I spoke about things that I dealt with, holding on and harboring things. And the moment when you start disliking a person or have that bitterness, you become slave to that very person of whom you trying to, you know, have this wrath against, because you're trying to, you know, allow that person to feel what you feel or experience those feelings. But when you do that, that person continue to have control of your thoughts, and that person that you hate will, you know, continuously be an ongoing cycle of wherever you go, whatever you think. And it seems like you cannot escape it, and it just grasps your mind. But God desires us to let it go. In Hebrews 12:14, it says, pursue peace with all people in holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So you can't have bitterness and holiness, as I stated before earlier, in your heart at the same time. You just can't do it. It can't dwell in the same place, even though you might say, you know, I'm good, or I don't, you know, that didn't affect me. But in some type of way, when you get in your quiet place, when you, you know, decompressing, or you are, you know, just with your alone time, those thoughts can come up. Those memories can come up. Something may can trigger it, those emotions. But don't you desire to release that and be healed from that, so you do not have to have those bitter roots, that you can be released from it? And in Ephesians 4:26, it tells us, be angry and do not sin, because it's not always a sin to be angry, but we should be able to forgive our brother as Jesus has forgiven us. And Jesus, you know, I'm not saying that we're not allowed to be angry, which we do have a right, But I'm saying do not stay in that space, because in the Bible, it states how Jesus was moved with anger at the time of when they were exchanging money in the temple. But he was moved with anger at the hardness of the Pharisees and the things that was happening and occurring within the temple. But properly channeled and properly pursued, Jesus' anger was not bitterness. He was angry. He never got angry at what someone did to him personally, but when he did get angry, it was with the action that someone did. We should be able to, you know, be angry, but be able to forgive and be able to let that bitterness go, because that bitterness becomes sin. Because when we begin to feed and nurse that anger, we go to bed with it, get up with it, it becomes a devil stronghold in our life. And it becomes like this nest in which Satan sets up for that war and that battlefield of the mind, thinking, and how he can trouble you for the rest of your life by holding on to it. But if you don't deal with it, that bitterness or that sin in your life, and that bitterness turns to wrath, and that wrath turns into anger. Anger becomes very explosive. You explode at people. People push your buttons. You become hostile. And then all of this become vocal. Then you lash out and say things that you don't mean to those that you love or those that you come across. And, you know, it can be very hurtful, because bitterness will have that effect on you emotionally, spiritually, and physically, and it can become like a cancerous thing that will not go away in your home, in your church, in your job, in your business, in your social areas. But these things are what cause the root of bitterness when you don't let it go, when you don't, you know, relinquish that to God. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead, guide you, and direct you, whether it's with the professional help, with the guiding of the Holy Spirit. You seek him and ask him to help you, because healing broken hearts is not something that we can do ourselves. It's something that God has already done. We have to claim it. Even when you walk for years with a broken heart, Jesus can make you whole at an instance. Jesus can do exceedingly above what our minds can imagine. And we should allow that healing power of Jesus Christ to deliver each of us from the pain, the sorrow, the grief that we all deal with. Let him fill you with the joy of the Lord, and let that joy become your strength, not just for today, but for the rest of your life. Because in Lamentations 3:22-23, it says, "The Lord loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And that was Lamentations 3:22-23. And so with that, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to perform that radical surgery, that radicalness in our hearts and minds. And we must allow him to reveal to us what we need to release and what we need to admit and what we need to confess. Because it all go way back to our childhood, things that we experience, and we need to recognize it. We need to perhaps, as I stated, seek counseling or professional help, recognizing that you have a problem and being honest with yourself, as stated, is the first step in finding a resolution to your healing. And with God help, you need to root it out and remove it. You may need to forgive the very person who has wounded you. The only way that you can find freedom and liberty is to fully and freely and forgive those who have hurt you. And Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will root out the bitterness that's within us. Think of what Jesus Christ has done for you. If he has forgiven you, is there anyone you cannot forgive? I know the pain may be deep. I know the memories may never, ever escape you. But if you ask God to heal you, He will take all of that away, because remember, he wants to take our yoke from us and make it light. We don't have to carry that burden. We don't have to carry those yokes, because he died on the cross for us. So think of God's grace and forgiveness in your life. Calvary was hard. You think this is hard. Calvary was hard. And I'm not minimizing the experiences that you've gone through. I'm not minimizing my experiences and the person who deals with bitterness. I am saying God desires to heal us, to allow that root of bitterness not to take place, because there's freedom from the root of bitterness, and it can be so joyous and glorious if we allow him. You know, Jesus suffered for the joy and the redemption of us and liberating us from the bondage of sin. Wouldn't it be liberating not to be held in the bondage of the root of bitterness? For the joy that was set before him, and he endured the cross for us to have that joy. But when we have the bitterness beneath the blood of Christ, we can allow the joy of the Lord to flow again, because Jesus wants to turn your bitterness into blessing. Let me say that again. Allow and let Jesus turn your bitterness into a blessing. And so I'm going to share this. So I once had a conversation with a friend who had been hurt by someone that she loved. She told me that, you know, he was doing everything in his power not to, you know, have that bitterness or hatred or hurt towards that person. Then she said something that I hadn't forgotten. You know, they was going through the situation and hardships, and, you know, he hurt her very bad, but she truly loved him, but she had bitterness towards that person. But she said this, and I didn't forget. She said, "I heard it said that harboring bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies." But I know that's a quote. I saw it before, but she mentioned it. And the more she stated that the more that she fed bitterness in her heart, the more it brought death to her. And so that resonated with me. So the more that she harbored that bitterness in her heart, it brought death to her, because it took her out of her emotions, the space that she was in, the joy, the happiness that she could, you know, experience. Because bitterness is just poison that's dipped in honey. It tastes sweet going down, but it can kill us from the inside out. And we don't want that to happen, because God has given us life to live life abundantly. You know, for me, I'm going to share a little bit about me. I had bitterness towards my parents and my husband before, of things that I experienced that I just was like, "Oh, I love you guys. Like, how can you do this?" But I had to recognize and think about, you know, things that may have occurred on my end, on my side. But I have to share what my hurts and my pains were, because I'm not going to take away from that. But I was holding on to bitterness for a long time with my mom, with my dad, with my husband. And I'm just saying this throughout the years, because, you know, growing up and just not knowing certain things, or having young parents and they wasn't privy to, you know, everything that was taking place or going on, you know, it was just a lot of bitterness that had taken place, even with the fact of when you think that you know, need an apology to move on, God can heal you and allow you to receive that hurt and pain that that person may have been experienced, or the unknown facts of the person may not have known. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't be held accountable, but I'm saying at the same time, God allowed me to see it in a different vision, in a different way. But before I knew what all those emotions were, before I truly understood why I was feeling that way, I did allow bitterness to have me in bondage. And it had me in bondage in such a way that I felt so bogged down. It was heavy on my spirit. When I had that quiet time or that downtime, I thought about it. I pondered on it. It was in me. I allowed it to take over. I allowed it to fester in my spirit. I allowed it to take over my mind. The enemy would bring it up each time that he saw fit because I didn't recognize it nor did I want to release it. But it wasn't until I released it and I forgave and I asked God, how do I need to navigate through this in order for me to move on, in order for me to heal, to become better in who you have created me to be, and not allow the enemy to hold me in bondage of these things, of how I felt that these people that I loved dearly and was the closest to me could hurt me. But at the same time, God said, I am with you. Is anything too hard for me? Is there anything that I cannot do? And at that moment, I had to activate my faith and trust him through the process. I had to trust him to know that I know that God wouldn't intentionally allow me to hurt or allow me to go through certain things and not be there for me in my point of need. I trusted him through the process. It was hard. It was tumultuous. It was, memories that I did not want to bring up. It was things that I didn't want to let go because I felt I had the right to hold on to them because these were my feelings and these were my emotions. And how dare you treat me this way or treat me this way because I didn't treat you that way or do those things to you. And so God had to say, am I not God? You are not God. So I had to find that forgiveness, and God softened my heart and began for me to see with the things that I needed to see. Because here's the thing. I began to ask God to show me. I began to ask him to strip me from things that was not of him. I began to ask him to allow me to be more in his image, to allow me to see, hear, have a heart, and think in the mind of Christ, to be his disciple. And I had to ask for Miyoshi to be removed out the way in order for that to happen. Because in a way I was being selfish and I was holding on because I wanted to have my guard up. I didn't want to be hurt anymore. I didn't want to go through the process. I didn't want to re-experience the pain. But God said, you have to, in order for me to heal you, in order for me to use you effectively the way I need you for the kingdom, for my kingdom. And so with that, I began to let that bitter go. It didn't happen at once. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen, just like that. It was some things that did and was that I did, was able to let go instantly. But it was some things that I did have to work on throughout the years. But it was some things that God was perfecting in me that he wanted to work through me. And so I can know how to navigate and use those instances of, when I experience those things in the world, that I would know how to handle them, that I would know how to navigate them, that I would know how to activate my faith, that I would know how to not to respond in a certain way that wasn't Christ-like. And he began to do that. So with that, whenever we love something that brings us to a point where it caused that bitterness and that anger and that where we don't want to let go, we have to, allow God to navigate us through it, to heal us the way that he see fit for each of us individually. Because just because, it worked for me in that way, it may not work for the other individual in the same manner and vice versa. Whereas maybe some things may be needing that counseling and that therapy. And maybe it is some things that the Holy Spirit can deliver you from. No, I'm not going to say maybe with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can do it if you allow. Because I always think about, if I have the faith of a mustard seed and God is able to change and speak things and to bring forth the dead, how can he not restore, heal, and allow me to forgive and be able to, heal from certain things? Is that I don't want to lack faith like that. I don't want to have faith in one thing and have, faith in one thing and not faith in another thing. So I had to understand And then I had to understand how that bitterness was fed. And I'm about to wrap up, and it's going to be a two-part topic. So how is that bitterness fed? We have to learn how to starve it. We first must know what feeds it. Proverbs 17:9. Let me go to it. It says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. And so this is an interesting point. So whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. So we have to know that forgiveness is something called that repeating a matter, that we have to know that it's three ways of repeating things. We repeat a matter and we feed it, you know, that bitterness in our heart. And so we have to know that we have to trust God, and we have to know that it's three things. We repeat the matter to ourselves, we repeat the matter to the sinner, and we repeat the matter to someone else. That's the three-part thing. So when we repeat the matter to ourselves, we replay that tape over and over of the person's offense or the things that we've done over and over in our minds. And this is the most common thing, or the thing that we feed our bitterness and unforgiveness. And every time we replay someone's sin in our minds, we water the seed of bitterness in our heart, and it grows. We have to let it go. We have to ask God to show us how to release that bitterness, that root of bitterness. Then the second thing we repeat is that the repeat the matter to the sinner. So we collect all these other person things and sins and things that they have done to us, and we carry it around wherever we go. And then when we get into an argument with the person, we dump it out and say what they did and throw it back in their face. But should our goal be, don't let this person forget what he or she did? Is that fair? Do we ask for forgiveness? Do God throw it in our face? And I'm not saying we're God, but if we're supposed to be in his image, and if we're supposed to be his children, and we're supposed to be Christ-like, and we're supposed to be disciples, are we supposed to hold on to that? I know that I did suffer with that. I suffered with all of it. I suffered with, well, you shouldn't have did X, Y, and Z to me, and that's why I'm feeling this way, or that's why I use that a lot, and I held on to it. I allowed the enemy to do that to me, but I had to find a way to let it go. I had to find a way to heal from it. I had to find a way to forgive, and I had to find a way to be honest with it, because I had to find a way to be accountable for what I did in my part. Not saying that everything that I did or that was happened to me was warranted, but I still had to look at the fact of the matter. You know, what role did I play, or how can I have done something different? And then the third thing that we repeat for that of the bitterness of the heart, we repeat the matter to someone else. And that's what the Bible called gossip. And whoever gossip separates, you know, is where we, you know, cause harm to all parties, to the person, to the thing, to the listener, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. Because in Ephesians 4:29-32, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. In verse 30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. And that was Ephesians 4:29-32. And so every time we repeat a matter in one of these ways, it feeds bitterness into our heart. Whether we are repeating it to ourselves, repeating it to the person that did us wrong, or repeating it to someone else. It just feeds and it feeds and it feeds that bitterness in our hearts, and we hold on to it. So I'm going to stop right there, and I'll finish up with the second part, unless I'm led to do a bonus and then the second part, however the Holy Spirit leads me. Many blessings to you. Here are a few resources. Please purchase the Heal Out Loud Grief Journal by Miyoshi Walker, where you can find on Amazon.com. Also, please leave a review once you have ordered it and received it. Also, please listen to A Day's Journey podcast on Apple and Spotify or your podcast platform of choice. But remember, please leave a review and share. Thank you for listening to another episode. So, dear friends, step in and feel the gentle embrace of our community as we walk together on the path to healing and wholeness. Make sure you tune in every Tuesday by 4 p.m. to listen to Season 5 of A Day's Journey podcast. Don't forget to set those reminders, share, and leave a review. You can listen to A Day's Journey podcast on all podcast platforms. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and more. Please remember to join our community on Facebook at A Day's Journey Podcast or Instagram at A Day's Journey Podcast. Or you can send an email to adaysjourneypodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions or would like to speak with Miyoshi.